The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
With you, O Lord.
A Pharisee invited Jesus to dine with him, and he entered the Pharisee's house and reclined at table. Now there was a sinful woman in the city who had learned that he was at table in the house of Pharisee. Bringing an alabaster flask of ointment, she stood behind him at his feet, weeping, and began to bathe his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and anointed them with the ointment. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who and what sort of woman that this is who is touching him, that she is a sinner. Jesus said to him in reply, Simon, I have something for you to say to you. Tell me, teacher, he said. Two people were in debt to a certain creditor. One owed 500 days' wages, the other owed 50. Since they were unable to repay the debt, he forgave it for both. Which of them will love him more? Simon said in reply, the one, I suppose, whose larger debt was forgiven. He said to him, you have judged rightly. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? When I entered your house, you did not give me water for my feet, but she has bathed them with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but she has not ceased kissing my feet since the time I entered. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she anointed my feet with ointment. So I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven because she has shown great love. But the one to whom little is forgiven loves little. He said to her, your sins are forgiven. The others at table said to themselves, who is this who even forgives sin? But he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Afterward, he journeyed from one town to another, preaching and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. Accompanying him were the 12 and some women who had been cured of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary called Magdalene, from whom seven demons have gone out. Joanna, the wife of Herod's steward, Chuza, Susanna, and many others who provided for them out of their resources. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Good morning. In one sense, you guys are a captive audience. The discipline inherent in the commandments and the laws of the church obligate, in a way, and make it necessary for us to be here. Your expectations, then, of what you get on Sundays should be very, very high. Hopefully, though, you are here because of a deep-seated hunger for spiritual nourishment and inspiration. Now, since the homily is an act of breaking open God's word, your obligation, your hunger, it demands that the homily be some of the most important words that you will hear all week. The homily should be helpful in understanding the scriptures, applicable to your daily lives, memorable in content, and motivating to all. So to get the ball rolling, sin is a deplorable reality of human history. It causes much pain and suffering. Sin is a self-defeating and self-destructive love of self and things. Sin consists of a person looking to his own comfort, convenience, and pleasure without not even a nod to the needs of other humans or the law of God. That law, which every human knows because it is written in our hearts, is summarized in the application of God's word and law, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. This measuring stick for sin of doing unto others is laid out for us in our first reading from Samuel today. The background for our first reading, we must then remember that King David was the ideal king of the Old Testament. He was the first king. He was the first king in a long dynasty that culminates in Jesus Christ himself. And he was deemed today to be an adulterer and a murderer. King David, though, did not need the 60-plus regulations of the Jewish law at that time to know that he should not have committed adultery with Uriah's wife. He did not even need the Ten Commandments to understand that he shouldn't have sent Uriah to his death to cover up his original crime. These sinful actions were obvious to David's conscience because he would not have wanted Uriah to do those things to him if the roles had been reversed. He knew they were sinful, first of all in his own heart, and then through the law, but he did them anyway. Today, when the prophet Nathan stood before David and accused him that you are the man, he did not plead excuses or pass down the guilt to others. He admitted his sin, and he wanted to repent. So God, in his covenantal promises to David, did not smite him or kill him or abandon him. In fact, David heard Nathan's pronouncement of the absolution. God forgives you. Truly, though, punishment did ensue, years of it, in fact. But at that moment in time, David knew God's forgiveness. In fact, as we heard today, David wrote that Psalm 32 that Claudia sang as a thanksgiving offering, pleading with God, forgive the wrong that I have done. While the mercy of God for sinners and the eagerness that Jesus displays in forgiving sin and also his welcoming attitude, these principles are in the first part of the readings, but they're also very much in the gospel. But our gospel gives us another lesson as well that we need to pay attention to, and that is, comes to us in the word of gratitude. If our sins have been forgiven us, and we have each promised not to sin again, then what should flow out of that experience is a show of great love and the actions that underlie our gratitude for our sins having been forgiven. To help us understand what gratitude is, the gospel story compares the generosity of a sinner who had been forgiven of her sins with the stinginess of the Pharisee at the meal. With the help of the customs and the rituals of the time, and these were applied to the guests that would come to your house, that is, of washing their feet because of the dirty roads, the anointing of their feet and heads, the extending of the kiss of peace, Jesus makes the comparison of how great love or gratitude can be shown. The actions of the woman who had sinned and the emotion with which they were extended, that is, the washing of his feet by her tears, the drying of her feet by her hair, the sorrow, all were noted to be the example of an extreme gratitude. With the absence of any of these customary actions by Simon the Pharisee, this was seen to be a testament to a lesser love. Simon, while not guilty of any breach of hospitality, he at the same time did not show any great act of care. He did not offer water, oil, or the sign of peace. By the construction of this gospel, though, it can be deduced that the woman's sins had already been forgiven her. In the gospel, it does not even say what she did wrong, but we are free to understand that she felt a definite urge to seek Jesus out and to show her gratitude, to show her great love in a public place, but in a place where she was not welcome. The challenge for us today is to identify with our readings. We each can know that we have sinned in our hearts, but also through a deformed conscience through the teachings of the church. Sin is a deplorable, selfish action on our part. If you have sinned, own up to it. Repent and promise not to do it again. Seek his forgiveness in the sacrament of penance. And for this magnanimous gift of God on his part of forgiveness of our sin, which should have caused us to die, you can almost be certain that you need to show your gratitude to God for all that he has done. And gratitude offers us many, many choices. While the focus of today was on the forgiveness of sin, repentance, and gratitude, I would be completely remiss if I didn't show you that there is even more to gratitude. Gratitude must not be limited to just the forgiveness of sin, though that is a very important place for it to be shown. Gratitude for all things is a stance of the heart and must be developed in our lives. For all that others have done for us, especially our parents, I hope you follow that urge to show that grateful heart. Is our gratitude lavishly and generously bestowed upon our parents, our fathers, our benefactors, or does that stingy attitude that we might have become our show? Today on Father's Day, instead of washing his feet, maybe with your tears, wash his car. Instead of today anointing his head, paint a room. Instead of today with a kiss apiece, you still can do that, but maybe spend a lot more time than normal. And for those for whom it's too late, always a prayer of gratitude to our Lord for a happy life in heaven is important. Gratitude, it covers a multitude of sin and selfish actions, and it's always pleasing to the Lord.